Today, we're leaving Exodus. We have been spending several months there, but because of Memorial Day, and I just love this country, and I love the freedom that it offers, understanding the cost that it's taken to maintain it. And so we're going to go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. That's the seventh church in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. We make reference to this many times. I think it's time that we cover it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. It's a privilege to come and to enjoy your precious word. I thank you for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit and proclaim your word. All these years, Father, you've blessed us so with your presence and your word. And Father, I ask that you will be able to continue to bless us. Bless us as individuals, bless us as a church, and bless us as a country. I ask, Father, that you'll just guide and lead us today. Show us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our state, our country, is in a downhill spiral. Without question, everything that it's doing, every decision that it's making, is the wrong one. The Word of God gives us a lot of examples of what happens to a nation that walks away from God. It has no hope. We can look at Babylon, the great Babylon, and then come all the way through and you look at Rome. And each and every one of those have fallen. And you can sum up a lot of things of the different administration, different issues that they may have had, but it can all come down to one single word, and that word is unbelief. They did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They did not repent. They did not turn to Him. Now, this great country that we live in was born because of God's presence and God's power. And when our nation has chosen to walk away from the Word of God, in the speech tomorrow, there's a section towards the end where I say the Pledge of Allegiance. And the first time I say it, it's without under God, because that was added. And yet, over 50 years ago, a person that would kind of surprise you that would give such a speech as this, it was Red Skelton. And Red Skelton said, I hope by adding in under God that somebody doesn't call it a prayer and throw it out of the school. And that was 50 years ago. And we have been in a downward spiral ever since. Unbelief. Unbelief. Our failure to learn and to follow the Word of God. Man never seems to learn the answer, the simple answer. And that answer is Jesus. That's all they need. That's all they need to do is accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I don't care how corrupt the leader is, the day that they would be born again and be saved, you would find a total transformation in that person's life, and they would begin to walk the walk that our Lord wants us. We have the full instruction for any land, any country, any church, any family. We have it right here in this book. But they choose to follow others. They choose to follow cults. We spend so much time and so much effort for us to understand the simple building of the tabernacle. And the reason that I believe the Lord wants us to go through it so many times is for us to learn the lesson and learn the principles of our life. And it all begins with the Lord Jesus and none other than the Lord Jesus. And it starts right here at this brazen altar. When Moses brought the plans to the tabernacle down, he, yes, brought the Ten Commandments. Well, it's very simple to tell people the word of the Ten Commandments kill you because we can't keep them. We're condemned already. And so he gives us also this wonderful plan. And in giving us this plan here, we come first to the brazen altar. There has always got to be a sacrifice offered. And we have that. Then comes the washing of the word. Now, what would happen if our leaders in Washington, D.C., and our leaders in the state of Illinois, and we can even, you know, Iowa and Missouri, they all need the direction and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would happen? Just what would happen if they would have a Nineveh day? That here comes the prophet Jonah. Now, Jonah had some problems getting there. And we can speak to Liddy. She's back there. Noah didn't have GPS. Jonah. Yeah, Jonah didn't have GPS. And so he got lost. He went the wrong way. He had some problems. And so if he'd had GPS, I'm sure he went right to Nineveh, preached to him, got saved, had been the end of it. But he had a long track to go, and sometimes we have the same thing. And some of our leaders are having that same issue. They're having a long track to find their way. But we pray that they do find their way. But what would happen? What would happen if that day they would come and they would find their way to this brazen altar, this cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What would happen when that happened? And then they would begin to realize the things that they're doing wrong. We got to quit killing babies. We got to repent. We got to turn this land around and rejoice and praise our God. That's what we got to do. Well, that's what happens when that washing starts. And then you begin the feeding, that daily feeding that we enjoy. And then we go right in and spend our time in prayer and fellowship with God the Father. And what would happen if the leaders in Washington, D.C., and the leaders in this state that we live in, if they would begin with repentance and come to the cross of Calvary and take that walk that we talk about each and every Sunday? What would happen if they would do that? Well, that's where our job comes in. Because when we look now back here in this text, and the Church of Laodicea, it's about 40 miles east of Ephesus, and we look at Ephesus quite often. And the city has something. And we're here, it speaks of the church. But we're going to talk about the city before we talk about the church. Because that's what happens. Because the church so simply and so quickly becomes the city. Instead of the city becoming the church, in other words, the church going out, preaching the word of God and seeing these folks saved and watch the city as Nineveh repented, to watch our cities repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we would see that. But here's what the city, and very similar to Nineveh, very similar. And it tells us down here, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Now that's the condition of most folks today. That's the condition of most cities today. And yet, here is the truth of them. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You don't even know that. You don't understand who you are and the condition you're in. Well, that is the city of Laodicea. Very wealthy city. Very well-to-do city. But as Rome fell, as Babylon fell, as this land is going to fall if we do not repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't do that, we're going to be just like the rest of them. Do you want a little history lesson on Laodicea today? It's desert and dust. The city of Laodicea doesn't exist. But sad to say, the church of Laodicea still does. Now, if you study the Word of God, you'll find that there are seven churches in the book of Revelation. All seven churches were in existence in the day when John wrote this. They were all there. Each one, you go through them. I love the study of the churches. And so as you look at that, you'll find that all seven of those churches existed in that day. And let's come to today. All seven of those churches exist today. But there's also seven church ages. And you can come through the time and you can see very clearly as one of the churches. You see a section of history that was great revival. You can find that church in Revelation. Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but we are in the seventh church right now. This is the time period we're in right now. We're in the church of Laodicea. That time period. And here's who we are. Now, to begin with, our Lord introduces himself very clearly. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's our Lord Jesus' introduction to us. And then he comes, and each time, each seventh time, and this is the seventh time, he says, I know thy works. He says that to every one of the churches. I know what you're doing. I know how you're acting. I know who you're worshiping. And it is not me. I know thy works. Normally, you'll find a church that is off the rails completely. You can find them. I've always said if you don't like this church because you don't agree with the doctrine of this church, I promise you, I guarantee you, you hunt long enough, you'll find one that believes exactly the way you believe. And so, don't change us. We're doing everything we can do to stay close to the Word of God. But if you choose to leave the Word of God, then go somewhere else. Because that's your choice. But don't try to change us. Because you see, that's what happened here. But it's worse than being all the way to the left. These folks don't care. I wish you were hot or cold. I wish you were one to the other. Because at least then when I tell you about Jesus, you're either going to curse at me or you're going to accept the Lord Jesus. One or the other. But instead of that, you're going to stand there and you're going to agree with me. You're going to say, yes, that's exactly the way I believe. And then somebody's going to come along that has a totally opposite opinion, opposite belief. And you know what you're going to say to them? You're going to say, I agree with you completely. Now, when you have someone that is lukewarm like that, you can say they're sitting on the fence. You can say whatever you want to say about it. But they're going to hell. They're going to hell. You've got to wake somebody up. They've got to realize that they're lost. You've got to realize that you're condemned already. But as we see these verses of Scripture here, we find again, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather you'd be either cold or hot, because at least then we know where you stand. So because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm going to vomit you out. That is the condition of the church today. That's the condition of the church in America today. And if you don't think that that doesn't have an effect upon our lives and our freedom, you're mistaken. Because when we begin to be neither cold nor hot. You just do your thing. And this city and this church as well was increased with goods. They had all the luxury they needed. They were self-satisfied. They had pride. They had plenty. They had everything they wanted. Everything they wanted. But they did not have what they needed. They needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what they needed to do. And that's what this land needs. This is what our leaders need. We need to pray for them. We always sing, and going to do it again tomorrow, but we always sing at the close of the service at the cemetery there, God Bless America. And I fought with that for the last 6 months. I don't know if I can sing that, because I don't know if I can ask God to bless America, not in the condition it's in. You think about that. Do you just sing that song just like we say the Pledge of Allegiance? You don't give it any thought at all. You just spew it out and go on. We need to recognize the condition that our country is in, that our land is in, that we are not only becoming a nation of Laodicean churches, but we are becoming a city, a nation of Laodicea. We didn't know when it would happen. You kind of know that it does, because there's a point in time that a nation, when the middle class is strong, you have production, you have faithfulness, you have honor in your country, honor in your God. It comes in the middle class. But then something happens. And what happens is we begin to leave God, and a few begin to become very, very wealthy, and many become very, very poor. And that middle class is gone. When you lose that middle class, you've left. What's the Word of God say about the rich? It is impossible for them to get into heaven. That's a strong statement. Well, you just won't say it, because if you want to take the eye of a needle and cram a camel through it, if you can, that's what the Word of God tells us. That's how difficult it is. And it's not that you can't be rich and be saved. It's because of the love of money and the love of things and the love of this world more than the love of the Lord Jesus, and it begins to fall apart. We need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to turn this nation from a nation of unbelief, as the city of Laodicea, as the land of Laodicea, as the churches of Laodicea had become lukewarm. And there is only one thing that you can explain to that when it says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I am going to send you straight to hell. That's exactly what he's saying. I'm going to send you straight to hell. Now, that's the way our Lord Jesus looks at the church that we have today. And he looks at the same as our land that we have today. As people have no time for the Lord Jesus, they have no time to serve God. They have no time to witness. The only thing that they're doing is satisfying themselves. Very, very prideful. Very prideful. pride, wealth, self-satisfaction. I've followed more campers and boats in the last 3 days. I'm sure I just knew they'd all be parked in the parking lot here at church. I was shocked. Let's look at it a little further here and we'll bring this to a close. I am worried about this nation. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, we find up that he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth in verse 16. But what does he do in verse 18? In verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I want you to be rich. I want you to be covered in white raiment. I want you to hold my righteousness and possess my righteousness. I want you to have my power. He has not written this church off, nor do I think he's written this land off. But God has sent us out to proclaim the word. Because there's one reason we're in the condition we're in, and that's the one single word, unbelief. They do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe in all kinds of things, but they do not believe in repentance and the trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So whose job is it for us to take care of that? It is our job to take out the word of God. The reason that we're in the condition we're in today is because the church has been silent. We have been quiet. We do not make a stand. We are not out in the community showing our witness and our testimony. You don't have to speak about the Lord Jesus every minute of every day. Your life does that. And then you'll have an opportunity to speak, to say something. But our life has to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the change. One person at a time, one church at a time, one state at a time. Then we'll finally get to the nation and we can save this great nation that we live in. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the silver, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and the anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou can see. You have been blinded. Our leaders are blinded. Our churches are blinded. They have left the Word of God. They've left the beautiful old King James Bible and brought in modern versions and think that's good enough. And here is the result of that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus is standing right there wanting to come in. He's standing there right now wanting to save this nation. But the Lord Jesus will not force himself on you, on me, on a land. How clear is it that he bought and paid for the Jews, for Israel? And look at what they have done to him. And yet he has not turned his back on them. He is going to call them one day, and he is going to make a great effort to bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the Jews' downfall? The same as the others, unbelief. They do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand at the door and knock. How much closer can the Lord Jesus be to your life and to your heart than right there? Than right there. And yet you'll find in this chapter, in this church, we have no reference of anyone opening that door. What does that tell you? Unbelief. Unbelief. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and is set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present here today speaking to hearts, bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ and are repented and born again, then you begin that walk. And that same Spirit comes to live within your heart and guide and lead you through your life. And we should be witnesses for our God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Please, wake us up. Wake us up. We go to the cemetery tomorrow and we stand there and we say we're remembering those that have died to keep us free in this land. But Father, the question comes, how long will we be free? And if we lose that freedom, have those thousands upon thousands died in vain? Please, Father, awaken us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.